What if the person you trusted most was hiding something unimaginable? In Jar of Hearts, this question haunts every page as we follow Georgina Geo Shaw's devastating journey from successful executive to convicted felon. On a rainy Tuesday morning, her carefully constructed life shatters when Detective Kaiser Brody, her former high school friend, walks into her corporate presentation with handcuffs. The truth emerges in shocking detail. At 16, Geo helped her first love, Kelvin James, dispose of her best friend Angela Wong's dismembered body. While Kelvin went on to become the infamous Sweet Bay Strangler, Geo built a perfect life, literally stepping over Angela's unmarked grave during family barbecues for 14 years. The courtroom becomes theater for broken relationships. Her fiancé Andrew abandons her, while her father Walter remains steadfast, a single tear tracking down his weathered face. Most disturbing is Kelvin's note passed during trial, "You're welcome," with a heart drawn beside it, which Geo immediately swallows. This single act suggests depths of complicity yet to be revealed and sets the stage for a story about the corrosive power of secrets and the complex ways trauma shapes identity. Prison strips Geo of everything: her designer clothes, executive title, even her name, replaced by Prisoner 19078. Hazelwood Correctional Institute, Hellwood, houses her in an overcrowded, big room with 50 women and a predatory hierarchy. Despite her counselor's assurances about safety, Geo quickly learns prison operates by its own savage code. Her expensive highlights, perfect teeth, and lack of tattoos mark her as dangerously different. When bunkmate Bernie sexually assaults her with death threats if she reports it, Geo experiences violation beyond her sentence. The next morning, Bernie publicly humiliates her, leaving her sick with fear. Survival comes through an alliance with Ella Frank, a powerful inmate married to a drug lord. Geo provides hair salon shears later used to murder Bernie. With her rapist gone, Geo sleeps peacefully for the first time, beginning her transformation into someone who understands justice sometimes requires terrible choices. A mysterious blue letter arrives as Geo adapts. Meanwhile, Detective Kaiser investigates new murders similar to Angela's, a dismembered woman and strangled toddler found with "See Me" written in Ship Pharmaceuticals lipstick, Geo's former company. This calculated detail proves the murders are a message for Geo. This case study examines how a high-achieving teenage student became entangled in a serious criminal act. The analysis reveals the complex mechanisms of psychological manipulation and coercive control that can affect young minds. The perpetrator, an older individual, deliberately targeted the student by exploiting common adolescent vulnerabilities, the desire for acceptance, understanding, and emotional connection. His systematic approach involved creating artificial dependency through social isolation and intermittent reinforcement. The manipulation escalated to a tragic incident involving another student. The perpetrator strategically created conflict between the two friends, exploiting their vulnerabilities. He then used threats of legal consequences and committed acts of abuse to ensure continued silence. The psychological impact was severe. The student experienced significant trauma symptoms, including loss of appetite, insomnia, and intense guilt, particularly during interactions with the victim's family. Attempts to seek help were thwarted through continued intimidation and further abuse. This case illustrates how psychological control can override a person's normal moral compass and decision-making abilities, especially in adolescence. It demonstrates the importance of recognizing warning signs of coercive relationships and understanding how trauma bonds develop. The analysis provides valuable insights for educators, counselors, and parents about protecting vulnerable youth from psychological manipulation and the importance of maintaining strong support systems. After prison, Geo struggled with everyday freedoms: hot showers, staying up late, ordering pizza, as punishment became an internal state following her everywhere. Basic choices felt like undeserved luxuries. Pregnant from Calvin's assault, Gio chose adoption, selecting Nori and Mark Kent, whose loving relationship reminded her of her parents before her mother died, an attempt to create something positive from horror. 18 years later, Gio receives letters from her adult son Dominic revealing his tragic life. His adoptive parents' marriage failed, his father left, and his mother died in a car accident with her boyfriend who had been sexually abusing Dominic. Despite Gio's sacrifice, Dominic suffered trauma mirroring her own maternal loss. When Dominic appears at Gio's doorstep, she's stunned to see Calvin's perfect double. Yet where Calvin exuded dangerous charm, Dominic carries a withdrawn demeanor, hiding something else. He reveals he's methodically uncovered his origins, stating with chilling certainty, "I know who he is." The victims' identities reveal a chilling pattern. Henry Bowen was Claire Tolliver's son. When Claire's roommate identifies Calvin as Henry's biological father, a horrifying truth emerges. Calvin is targeting women connected to him and their children, his own children. Yet questions suggest an even more twisted reality. During their tense reunion, Dominic condemns Gio's years of silence. When she warns him about Calvin murdering his own children, Dominic responds with unnerving calm, mentioning unreleased details about recent murders. Horror strikes when he suddenly attacks Gio, sexually assaulting her while perversely calling her mother. Fighting against her own son's violence, Gio faces the ultimate nightmare. It has come full circle. The monster she helped create carries both her blood and Calvin's darkness. Evil manifests through multiple inheritances, genetics, trauma, and the consequences of moral compromise. The climax brings all three characters together when Calvin pulls Dominic off Gio. Calvin realizes the recent murders aren't his doing and is stunned when Dominic calls him dad. He never knew he had a child. Dominic confesses to murdering the women and their children to punish Gio, asking bitterly, "Why was I the only one who had to suffer with a terrible mother?" revealing the generational trauma driving him. Calvin urges Gio to escape, acknowledging people like him, like me, shouldn't exist. Gio finally faces the choice she couldn't make 14 years ago. With tears streaming, she looks at both men, the monster from her past and the one she created, whispers, "I love you and I'm sorry," before shooting Dominic, then Calvin. She cradles her dead son, noting he has her eyes. When Calvin stirs, Gio delivers a final shot. This devastating act represents her redemption, stopping the cycle of violence by sacrificing her own child. On a crisp autumn morning, Gio sits between two contrasting headstones, her mother's simple white marble marker and her son's newer, deep gray one. Despite Dominic's crimes, she arranged for him to be buried in her family plot after his adoptive father refused, accepting responsibility and recognizing that even monsters were once children. As she places cinnamon hearts on Dominic's grave, a bittersweet childhood memory, and rubs her pregnant belly, hope emerges. This pregnancy offers a chance at redemption and breaking the cycle of trauma. Gio turns toward home, stepping from shadow into patches of warm sunlight, a metaphor for her journey from darkness into light, from denial into truth. After years behind carefully constructed walls, she has finally confronted her past. While she can never undo what happened, she moves forward with hard-won wisdom. Her new child represents a conscious choice to face the future openly, finding redemption not in escaping consequences, but in facing them.